The first reading is a David Psalm, Psalm 138. Thank you. Everything in me says thank you. Angels listen as I sing my thanks. I kneel in worship, facing your holy temple, and I say it again, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Most holy is your name. Most holy is your word. The moment I called out, you stepped in. You made my life large with strength. When they hear what you have to say, God, all earth's kings will say, thank you. They'll sing of what you've done, how great the glory of God. And here's why. God, high above, sees far below. No matter the distance, he knows everything about us. When I walk into the thick of trouble, keep me alive in the angry turmoil. With one hand, strike my foes. With your other hand, save me. Finish what you started in me, God. Your love is eternal. Please don't quit on me now. That concludes the first reading.
Well, good morning. I'm indeed grateful for this opportunity to be present with you and to be in worship with you this morning. Let us hear the reading of the gospel lesson as it is found in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 34. After Jesus crossed over by boat, a large crowd met him at the seaside. One of the meeting place leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell to his knees beside himself as he begged, "My dear daughter is at death's door. Come and lay hands on her so that she will get well and live." Jesus went with him, the whole crowd tagging along, pushing and jostling him. A woman who had suffered a condition of hemorrhaging for 12 years, a long succession of physicians had treated her and treated her badly, taking all of her money and leaving her worse off than before, had heard about Jesus. She slipped in from behind and touched his robe. She was thinking to herself, "If I can put a finger on his robe, I can get well." The moment she did it, the flow of blood dried up. She could feel the change and knew her plague was over and done with. At the same moment, Jesus felt energy discharging from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said, "What are you talking about? With this crowd pushing and jostling you, you're asking who touched me? Dozens have touched you." But he went on asking, looking around to see who had done it. The woman, knowing what had happened, knowing she was the one, stepped up. Too many pages. Stepped up in fear and trembling, knelt before him and gave him the whole story. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed, be healed of your plague." And from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts of Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with a disadvantage, don't let yourself be irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. The Word of God for the people of God. As I come to you this morning, I want to begin by letting you know that I've been humbled by some remarks that Fred made this morning. Fred said he considered me a friend, but prior to that he said, I'm one of his bosses. And you know, I'm humbled because that moves me into some very elite company. That puts me in the company of God and Tinker. Or maybe I should reverse that. Maybe I should say Tinker and God. But I'm humbled, Fred, that I'm in that elite crowd of people who are your bosses. And as I come this morning, I acknowledge also that there are people who give me direction in my life. One of them is my wife, Cora, and I'm delighted that she's able to be here with me this morning. Obviously, I seek to follow the spirit and leading of Almighty God, but I also am given directions by a member of our Florida Conference Board of Directors who sits here among us this morning, and that's Mr. Bob Coulterman. So I acknowledge your presence as a member of the Board of Directors of the Florida Conference, and thank you for the ways in which you share your gifts with the wider church in that capacity. And also would give a nod to a former pastor here, Reverend Sponsler, who's here with you this morning and shares his gift as the one who sings in the choir. It is always a pleasure to be with you and to bring you greetings on behalf of our conference minister, Reverend Kent Salati, whom I'm sure many of you know and have had the opportunity to meet, and to bring you greetings from your now 98 sister congregations throughout the Florida Conference of the United Church of Christ. There's a story about a drug enforcement agent who went out one afternoon to visit with an old Montana rancher. And so as they stood talking, the DEA agent said to the rancher, you know, I need to go out and I need to inspect your property to make sure that you're not growing any illegal drugs. And so the rancher said, go right ahead. I would just caution you to be careful and not to go into this particular field that he pointed to. Well, for some reason, the DEA agent became incensed, and he said to the old rancher, he said, let me tell you something. I have the authority of the federal government behind me. And so he reached into his back pocket, and he took out his badge, and he showed it to the rancher. He says, do you see this? You see this badge? This badge gives me the authority to go where I want, whenever I want. No questions asked. No answers given. Do I make myself clear? Well, the old rancher nodded and went about his way and went back to doing his chores. Well, it wasn't long before he heard this loud screaming. And he looked up and he saw the DEA agent running across the field. And closing in on that DEA agent with every step was his prize bull. And so the rancher stood there and wondered how he could be of assistance. So he thought for a moment and he ran and he jumped up on the fence and he yelled out to the DEA agent, "Your badge! Show the bull your badge!" Obviously the rancher was being somewhat facetious, but you know, being who I am, I like to think that maybe he was really trying to offer this DEA agent some hope. Maybe he was offering him hope in the midst of a desperate situation. He certainly needed something that could change his life at that particular point. When we look at our gospel text this morning, we find the story of another person in need of some hope and whose life was truly transformed. For it's the story of a woman who had been sick with an illness for 12 long years. And according to the story, Jesus and his disciples had just arrived on the seashore. And as was a common occurrence in those days, a crowd had begun to gather around Jesus. And out of this crowd, there emerged a man by the name of Jairus, a leader in the local synagogue. And so Jairus runs up to him and he falls at his feet. And he begins to plead with him to come to his house because it turns out that his young 12-year-old daughter is ill. She's lying at home at the point of death, and he asks Jesus to come and to heal her, and so Jesus agrees to go. And as they are making their way through the crowd, Jesus suddenly turns to his disciples and he asks them a rather unusual question. He asked, "Who touched me?" And I can imagine that the disciples were somewhat bewildered because they looked around and they saw all of these people who were reaching and grabbing and pushing and shoving, trying to get close to Jesus, and in essence, they were asking Jesus, "Are you kidding me? You see the sea of people. You see these people around you. They're pushing, they're grabbing, they're pulling at you. And you want to know who touched you? How can we possibly say what one individual has touched you?" And what the disciples failed to realize at that moment was that Jesus was not talking about some ordinary physical contact. But Jesus had experienced something that had touched him at the very core of his being. It was a touch that was filled with a deep sense of desperation and despair, but at the same time, it was filled with a sense of great hope and expectation. For it turns out it was the touch of this woman. And as the story unfolds, we find that for 12 long years, she had gone about trying to find someone who could offer her the right prescription. Someone who could help relieve her suffering. Someone who knew just what she needed to do, and yet her condition had persisted. No doubt over that 12-year period, she had gone to every type of doctor. She had tried every known treatment, all types of prescriptions, and nothing had helped. But finally, having used up all of her material resources, having turned to everyone she could think of, trying to find an answer, trying to find a cure for her ailment, only to find disappointment and heartbreak at every turn, finally, having gone through all of this, she heard about this one called Jesus. Now, we aren't told when, we aren't told where, we really aren't told how. It may have been one day as she was going about her daily routine of looking for daily sustenance. It may have been one day as she was down by the river washing her clothes. It may have been one of those days, typical days, that she went about looking for something that would bring her relief. We really don't know how, when, or where, but somewhere, somehow, she heard about this unusual man, and she knew within her being that she had found her answer. And she thought to herself, you know, if I could just get close enough to touch the hem of his clothes, I don't need to go and lie in front of him. I don't need for him to put his hands on me. I don't need for him to make any special effort. If I could just make my way and get close enough just to touch the hem of his clothes, then I believe that I will find what I've been looking for all of these past 12 years. And with that kind of faith, with that kind of hope, with that kind of determination, she began her journey towards transformation. But you know, I like to imagine that this woman didn't just kind of walk up and weave her way through the crowd and then get close enough to touch the hem of Jesus' clothes. I read one commentary which said that not only was she pushed back and shoved aside, but at some point she was actually knocked down to her hands and knees and she crawled on her hands and knees. But she got close enough. She made her way through that crowd. She reached out in faith, probably mixed with some fear of the unknown, but because she did, her life was transformed forever. And when Jesus became aware of this unusual touch, and as he engaged her in conversation and heard her story and her struggle, he said to her, "My daughter, your faith has rescued you. Go in peace and be healed of your illness." And at that moment, her life was changed. And, you know, I believe that there are a lot of people out there who are just like the woman in this story. People who are an odd mixture of faith and fear. She wanted to reach out. She wanted to be actively engaged. She wanted things to be better in her life. But at some point, there was some hesitancy because she wondered, well, what do I have to do? What personal sacrifices will I have to make? But when it came right down to it, she was able to rise above her fear of the unknown, her fear of being discouraged or discovered, her fear of being rejected, her fear of failure. She rose above all of that. And because she did, her life was changed. She became a different person. She was truly transformed. And, you know, I would imagine that if I were to pose the question to each of us this morning or invite you to recall times along your life's journey, you could probably recall times when you too have had to face personal fears. Times when you have been confronted by some of life's obstacles. Times when you may have felt broken or confused or frustrated or lost. Times when you have known the pain of loss and grief. Times when you have experienced periods of doubt and uncertainty in your own life. And yet, as I look around, here you are today. And what that says to me is that you too have persevered. It says that you too, along your life's journey, have had an encounter with the Holy. And because of those encounters, you have found hope. You have been, and you continue to be transformed. But let us not forget that there are others around us searching for that same hope, that same faith, the same experience of God's grace that continues to sustain and transform you and I. We're all aware that the world around us is rapidly and constantly changing, and increasingly more and more people are finding themselves in desperate situations. And in the midst of their situations, they too are looking for something that can give them some hope. Excuse me. And you know, I believe that the church is one place where people should come and they should always be able to find hope. For this is a place of change and transformation. This is a place where people can come and experience God in their own way. But not only that, it is a place where we can be touched and where we can reach out and touch the lives of others and help them to find hope and to experience the transformation that comes through the presence of God's Spirit among us and within us. In the 12th chapter of his letter to the Romans, Paul talks about the people of faith. He talks about the church. He talks about us as the body of Christ. And he says that like the human body, we are each unique. And we are distinctive and we're different. But yet we are all dependent upon each other. Each part, Paul wrote, is important to the overall effective functioning of the whole. So this whole piece of getting hope and transformation to other people is not something that's just dependent upon any one of us. And yet it is. But it's also dependent upon each of us and all of us working together. To help illustrate this whole sense of interconnectedness and interdependence as the people of faith, have you ever had the experience of waking up in the middle of the night? It's dark. You find that maybe you need to go to the bathroom or to the kitchen to get a drink of water. And you don't want to awaken or disturb anyone else in the house, so you don't turn on the lights. And why should you? It's your house. You know where everything is. And so as you're making your way to the kitchen or to the bathroom, you suddenly discover that someone has moved a piece of furniture or left an obstacle in your path. And the way you discover this is that you strike that little toe. Oh, yeah, some of you are laughing and nodding. You've been there. And if you've been there, you know how excruciatingly painful that can be. and you find yourself leaning against the wall, excuse me, or sitting on the floor, or leaning against a piece of furniture, and you massage that little toe ever so gently and ever so lovingly, trying to ease that pain. And if you're not careful, you may even utter a few expressions that you wouldn't want us to know are part of your vocabulary. But circumstances warrant those particular words. And our point is that that small, seemingly insignificant part of the body has now caused your whole body to react. You've even changed course. You were headed to the bathroom or to the kitchen, and now the only thing that you're concerned about is easing the pain in that little toe. Because all parts of the body, no matter how significant, are interconnected and dependent upon each other. And so it is with the body of Christ. God calls each of us to share our gifts individually, but also collectively in a way that expresses God's grace and God's mercy to those around us in a way that hopefully brings hope into someone's life, in a way that touches another person's life and suddenly puts them on the path to transformation. We find that in this enterprise of being the body of Christ, of being the church, of being a people of faith, we find that it's not just the pastor who's called to be an expression of an extension of God's grace. It's not just the pastor and the council, the leaders of the church, but it's each and every one of us working together, sharing our respective gifts that help to bring about change and transformation and offer people hope in the world around us. Again, we live in a world that is rapidly and constantly changing, a world in which people are wrestling, trying to find answers to some of life's most challenging questions, a world in which we find ourselves surrounded by an inordinate amount of negativity, a world in which so much of what we see and what we hear and what we experience is either distressing or depressing. And that is a world that is calling for, that is looking for, that is yearning for a word of hope and something that can help transform their situation. And I believe that God calls us to work together as pastor and congregation, as shepherd and sheep, as the conference and the wider church and local churches. God calls us to work together in helping others experience the life-giving, life-changing, life-sustaining power of God's Spirit among us. And so I encourage you today to ask yourself, what is it that God might be calling me to do? How might God be calling me to share my gifts? How might God be calling me to be present to someone in this church family, my own family, in this community, in a way that expresses God's grace, God's mercy, and God's love? And how might God be calling us as a community of faith to be an extension and an expression of God in this world? As we use our gifts and as we become more involved in the world around us, as we continue to stretch out and as we try new things, not only are we transformed, but we also help to bring about transformation in the world around us. And we help to offer hope in the midst of desperate situations. So might it be. Amen. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as we gather in this sacred space, this place of safety and comfort, this place where we can come and we can bring our questions and our doubts and our fears and our concerns, where we can bring our joys and our gratitude. We gather in this space, O God, with a sense of your presence among us. We gather with a sense of gratitude for all that you have done and all that you are doing and all that you shall yet do for us in the days ahead. But we also gather with the sense of the world around us, with the challenges and the struggles that people around us are confronting. We ask, O God, that you would help us to be somewhat introspective, to ask ourselves, what is it that you have given to each of us that you now empower us and call us to share with those around us? Maybe it is just a listening ear. Maybe it is just a word of comfort. Maybe it is just a moment of silent prayer. Maybe it is just a ministry of presence to just sit with someone, to let them know that we care. But whatever it is you have given us, and whatever it is you are calling us to do, we ask, O God, that you would make it clear to us, and then that you would empower us and equip us to be that presence, to share that gift, to make that difference in the life of someone that we encounter. We thank you, O God, for this congregation, for the ministry that they have in this community, for the difference that they make, for the one that you have called to be the shepherd and the pastor of this flock, for those that you call to serve as leaders among this congregation. We are grateful for all that they do, and we are grateful, O God, for all that you are inspiring them to do in the future. We ask now, O God, that whatever we do, wherever we go, that somehow people may see a difference in us, that they may see the hope that lies within us, even in the midst of desperate situations. We ask, O God, your blessings upon the families that are represented here, for those who struggle with illness, for those who struggle with loss, for those who struggle with the uncertainty of the future. We ask, O God, that you would remind us that our hope for the future, lies in you. Be with us this day and always, for it is in the name of Jesus the Christ that we ask it. And the people of God said, Amen.